speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Several years ago, one of the national magazines carried a series of articles dealing with American religious beliefs. After the series was completed, the author Leo Rustin compiled those articles with some additional information in a book form called The Religions in America. And in reading those articles, or in reading from the book, you'll find that these religious bodies have many points of difference. They also have points of similarity. And one of the points on which all these religious bodies are agreed is that the subject of baptism is a very important religious subject. Every one of the religious bodies with which Mr. Rustin dealt believes in and teaches and practices some form of baptism. Now, they do not all practice baptism the same way. They do not all consider the same people to be candidates for baptism. And they do not all baptize for the same purpose. But they all agree that baptism is important. And we are not primarily interested this afternoon in knowing what one religious body believes about baptism as opposed to what another believes. But friend, we are concerned with knowing what the Bible teaches about the subject of baptism. We can turn in the pages of the Bible and learn how people should be baptized. We may learn that baptism in the New Testament time was always by immersion, never by sprinkling, which was authorized by the Council of Ravenna in the year 1311. We can turn in the New Testament and learn that baptism is always for penitent believers, never for people who were incapable of believing, that is, never for infants. In a similar way, we can turn in the New Testament, as we do this afternoon, and find out the purpose for which people were baptized. And we can find the relationship that exists between baptism and salvation from our sins. Now, there are those who feel that baptism does everything, that baptism is a regeneration process. There are others who feel that baptism has nothing to do with salvation, that one can equally be saved without obeying this command as well as by obeying it. And the truth is that neither point of view is correct. Baptism is not a regenerative process. At the same time, baptism does have a relationship to salvation, and it is that relationship that we want to consider this afternoon. I'd like you to think with me for the remaining minutes about three or four passages of Bible scripture that very clearly point to the relationship that exists between baptism and salvation. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus gave the commission for his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he said in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." I learned that belief plus baptism equals salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Now, what's baptism relationship to salvation? It's related to it in such a way that the desired result, that is, salvation, cannot be accomplished unless one both believes and is baptized. And Jesus continued, "He that believeth not shall be condemned." Some have tried to find here teaching that baptism is not essential. They say that if baptism had been essential, Jesus would have said, "He that believeth not and is not baptized shall be condemned." But I think the clearest and simplest explanation of that I've ever heard was given by a preacher who simply showed that in order to be saved, one must do two things. He must believe and he must be baptized. In order to be condemned, one needs only do one thing, and that is fail to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. One who does not have faith, does not believe, does not trust, does not have confidence in God, is condemned already. And there's little point in discussing other failures or other commands, because he's already lost. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2, we have the record of the first gospel sermon being recorded. When the people present heard that Jesus was the Christ, and that they were responsible for his death, they, by their wicked hands, had crucified and slain the Messiah. They were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The very simple answer was, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, another translation says, "Peter said to them, 'You must repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in order to have your sins forgiven.'" Repent and be baptized was in order for a special purpose, that was, to have their sins forgiven. Repentance plus baptism equals salvation. So the relationship that baptism has to salvation is, to achieve the desired result, that is salvation, one must repent and one must be baptized. And it's interesting to notice that in Mark, where the Bible says, "Believe and be baptized," and in Acts where it says, "Repent and be baptized," the word "and" appears as a coordinate conjunction, which serves the purpose of joining two words of equal value, "believe" and "be baptized to be saved." So, by this coordinate conjunction of equal value, belief and baptism have the same relationship to salvation. "Repent and be baptized, and you shall be saved." Here, repentance and baptism, the same relationship to salvation. So whatever we feel is a relationship between faith and salvation, or repentance and salvation, is also the relationship that's sustained by the act of baptism. Next, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the writer refers to the case of Noah and his family being saved in the ark. And he points out that in a similar fashion, baptism also now saves us. I think that we read that passage limiting it far too severely, because we insist that Noah was saved from the flood. Indeed, they were. But we must not forget that they were also saved by the flood from the sinful world in which they were living and would have perished had it not been for the ark and the flood waters, which provided for their salvation. So with that in mind, Peter says, baptism doth also now save us. Again, I ask, what's the biblical relationship between baptism and salvation? The inspired Apostle Peter says, baptism doth also now save us. In Acts 22, verse 16, Paul recalls the conversion, his conversion to Christ. Ananias, the preacher who had been sent by God, says to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Here, Saul was now a believer in Christ. He was a penitent person, but the message was, be baptized and wash away your sins. So what is the biblical relationship between baptism and salvation? First, believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Second, repent and be baptized in order to be saved. Third, baptism doth also now save us. And then the fourth, be baptized and wash away your sins. If we want salvation, we must do what the Lord teaches in order to have salvation assured of us. Now, of course, there are some limits to the benefits of baptism. We understand that only sins from which baptism saves are the sins that we have committed in the past. And that isn't strange when we consider the nature and the definition of sin, because as the Bible describes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, sin is transgression of the law of God. We understand that sin is an accomplished fact, that only sins that I have are the sins that I've already committed. The sins that I may commit in the future are not yet charged against me because I've not yet committed them. And the only sins that are that I'm guilty of, the sins that I've committed, and baptism will take away those sins when I, in good conscience, respond to God. Now, baptism does not guarantee any future immunity from sin. When Noah and his family, in this figure of baptism, were saved from the sinful world, they were not guaranteed any future immunity from sin. When the flood waters receded, Noah became a sinful man, guilty of the sin of drunkenness. So one can sin after becoming a child of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2, we're told that the children of Israel passing through the waters of the Red Sea is a figure of baptism. Yet this passage through the Red Sea, while it delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, it did not guarantee immunity from sin in the future. Almost as soon as they had passed through the Red Sea, they became people who murmured and complained. Even Moses sinned so severely that he could not enter the promised land of Canaan. In the New Testament, baptism saved Simon the sorcerer and people like Ananias and Sapphira from their past sins. But it didn't keep them from being covetous and sinful people at a later date. Galatians 3, verse 27 teaches that baptism puts one into Christ. When we're saved from our past sins and we're put into Christ, it's then that our responsibility to stay there. Baptism will not keep us there. Allegiance to the Word of God and a careful daily of Christian living, sincerely praying and reading the Bible, following God's guidance, dedication to His cause, and love for His Word, these are the things that will keep us in Christ. And while baptism saves, it has limitations. It was never designed by God as a guarantee for preservation of every sin every year of our lives. If this is the teaching of the New Testament, if baptism bears this relationship to salvation, then surely we can see that we need to be people who are obedient. As we mentioned, in Acts chapter 2, we have the record of people who believed the preaching of the gospel, who responded to it by being baptized for the remission of their sins. The Bible teaches that they were saved, that they were added to the church, and they began to live and to serve faithfully as members of the body of Christ. Acts chapter 8, we have the record of the man of Ethiopia. Having heard the gospel, raised the question, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" When he was told, "If thou believest, thou mayest," he confessed his faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Then he was baptized to have his sins washed away. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible teaches Saul of Tarsus arose and was baptized to have his sins washed away. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas, on the second missionary journey, landed in jail in the city of Philippi. During the night, there was a great earthquake. The jail was open. The jailer, fearing that prisoners had escaped, was about to take his life. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Later, the jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And many people want to end the story right there, with a man believing in Christ. But the Bible says that he repented. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, maybe stripes that he himself had inflicted, and he and his household were baptized that same hour of the night. Friend, baptism is important. It's a very important religious discussion. It's a very important topic commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ for us if we would be saved. Baptism for the remission of sins.